Hey, it's Deb, and you're listening to my podcast, Debbie Does Dating.
Debbie Does Dating, with your host, Deb McEwen. Sponsored by Dating by Deb.
All right, today we're going to talk about something that is a serious subject. So we're going to just skip the awkward dating moment and we'll pick that up next time. Last week, my husband and I went to see Sound of Freedom. And if you don't know what that is, it's a movie about Tim Ballard, a former US government agent who goes on a mission to rescue children from sex traffickers in Colombia. He has a nonprofit organization called Operation Underground Railroad, or OUR, which is an anti-sex trafficking organization. And he has been able to rescue thousands of children from these horrible situations. The movie was able to portray the evil in this world and also the horrific circumstances these kids were forced into, and I cried the whole movie. Even though at the end, the main character who played Tim Ballard said that it wasn't made to make you sad, it was actually made to give us hope that since so many kids have been rescued, many more can be rescued through these organizations created to do just that. And I understood that, and I knew I would get there eventually, but the feelings I had for a couple days were not only sadness for what these children had to go through, but the hatred I felt toward the evil people who forced this on them. And that was the key word for my anger, forced. What makes people think that they have any right to have control over another human being? Like they're somehow more important, that they can just take whatever they want? Some of them use their strength and size to control. Some use their cunning and lies. Some just use degrading words to cut somebody else down to the point that they're easily controlled. And some use religion. They say that God told them to do it, or somehow they've made it and it doesn't matter what they do on this earth, they've already been saved. But each of those reasons are very wrong. When you use means to control others to force them out of their own agency, it is wrong. I felt angry and helpless, but I wanted to do something. And I knew I wouldn't feel better unless I did something to help, but what could I do? And I thought about it and thought about it. Then I thought maybe in my own small way, by talking about it in a podcast episode, I could help just one person who may be in a damaging situation or relationship and may not even recognize it. And maybe I could help them have the courage to end it or get out, or even just help them recognize where they are. And I'm not talking about manipulation, using manipulation. That can be a dangerous game in and of itself, and that subject's for another episode. What upset me so badly was the abuse of children by evil people who overtook them or controlled them. And while I think the abuse of children is the most horrible act of abuse out there, all abuse is vile and should be stopped. Anytime a person overpowers another person through force, whether physical, misuse of authority, cunning and deceit, or through degrading or bullying behavior for their own pleasure or purpose is abuse. So let's shed a little different light on it as it pertains to relationships, because it goes on all around us. It may even be going on in your home or in your life. And that's why I'm doing this episode. We need to call it what it is and stand up to these people who think that they have the right to control or restrict other people's lives. Okay, here's the truth. If you're in a relationship that you are uncomfortable with because of the control someone is placing over you, and the result is causing you pain or harm, you are in an abusive relationship. Physical abuse, we might think that it's easily recognizable, and sexual abuse, you may think the same thing, but within a marriage or partnership, the lines may blur. Also, in a family or a close friend situation, it may be hard to tell because of the relationship and or the trust you had in that person or persons, which I think makes it even worse. I recently watched the documentary on the Duggar family and how the sisters finally publicly addressed the abuse of their brother. And when the parents were confronted about it, they made all kinds of excuses and downplayed what he did, and it enraged me. Because of the fame, the money, or the pride, I don't know what it was, but they tried to silence or just even quiet their daughter's voices, and that was wrong. So if you're in a situation that's making you feel frightened, unsafe, confused, like you're telling yourself that it's not abuse because that person loves you, and if you've told someone who then downplays it or tells you not to tell anyone else or tells you to suck it up because it happens to everyone, or just flat out doesn't believe you, tell someone else and someone else and then tell someone else. It's not talked about enough. For some reason, there's so much shame in abuse by the abused when the shame should be found in the abuser. And I know this is a heavy subject and there are so many signs of abuse, red flags to watch for and things to avoid while dating and relationships or even friendships. I could actually go on for 8 hours talking about it, but today I'm just going to focus on the signs that we may just talk ourselves out of. Because let's admit, while we're dating and when we're in love, we see that person through rose-colored glasses. And rose-colored glasses don't always show those red flags very clearly. So I found an article in Brides Magazine about emotional abuse and signs of that, what to watch for. And I thought it would be good to share those signs and talk a little bit about each one. The first one they mention is control. And this is really the basis for all abuse. But in emotional abuse, your partner may seem overly invested in your social life or police your day-to-day routines without acknowledging your desires. You don't have the freedom to make your own choices. Even small comments that undermine your independence are a means of control. If you have to report everything you do and everywhere you go, you shouldn't have to. You're a grown-up just like they are, and you have the right to make your own choices just like they do. Yelling. It's normal for partners to raise their voice occasionally, but it may not be healthy when disagreements regularly escalate into shouting. It's especially concerning if you feel afraid. Not only does yelling make a productive conversation nearly impossible, but it can also create an imbalance of power. Only the loudest person is heard. Shouting matches never end well. There are different ways to settle disagreements, so if your partner isn't willing to try a healthier option, that's a red flag. Contempt, or feeling that a person is beneath consideration or worthless. When one partner feels contempt for the other, it's not easy for either person to express their feelings. The author notes that in healthy relationships, there's an expectation that your partner will listen and be respectful, even if they can't give you what you need. If they respond to your needs with mean-spirited sarcasm, arrogance, disgust, or apathy, then contempt may create a barrier in your relationship. So just take a look at how you express your feelings to one another. Are you or are they respectful? Excessive defensiveness. When you constantly feel like you have to defend yourself, there's less room for positive communication. It's important that both parties are able to talk openly and honestly with each other to resolve issues. Excessive defensiveness can feel like you're in a battle where your shield is always up. Threats. If your partner's threatening you in any way, you may feel like you're in danger. Coercive if-then statements can include blackmail, threats of physical harm or suicide, or other intimidating remarks, but they often show the same intent: to back victims into a corner and prevent them from leaving. Stonewalling. Stonewalling takes place when one partner refuses to talk or communicate. If your partner shuts down uncomfortable conversations, it can feel like abandonment. Their refusal to discuss issues may come across as rejection or a lack of concern for your feelings. Blame. Victims are often made to believe that they cause and therefore deserve their own abuse and unhappiness, making the cycle much harder to break. This can be made worse by the shame that many victims feel for letting their abuse continue. Gaslighting. A form of psychological manipulation, gaslighting causes victims to doubt their memories, judgment, and sanity. If you find that your concerns and even memories are frequently dismissed as false, stupid, or crazy, you may be experiencing gaslighting. Isolation. Emotional abuse is pervasive, affecting all areas of life. Most notably is the toll it takes on victims' relationships with friends and family. Abusers often convince their partners that no one cares. This alienation can cause victims to feel like they're on an island, removed from loved ones and past versions of themselves. Volatility. If a relationship is constantly interrupted by mood swings, it can signal abuse. Many people experience natural ups and downs, but it's a problem when it harms one's partner. Volatile abusers often shower their victims with gifts and affection following an outburst, only to become angry again shortly after. Now, none of us are perfect. We're going to make mistakes sometimes. We're going to say things that we don't really mean, and sometimes we're going to get defensive. Sometimes, because of hurt in our past, we show signs of distrust in our partner. But the examples that we just went over are red flags to look for and are usually repeated behaviors. So step back, take a look at your relationships. We know relationships take work, and they're worth the work. But ask yourself, do I feel loved? Do I feel respected? Do I feel safe? If you don't feel safe, there is help. You can call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. You deserve to feel respect and to feel safe. We are all worthy of love. You are amazing, and you are worthy of love. Hey, if you can relate to any of my experiences, or if you think you may be stuck in the past or feel like you're just spinning in indecision and can't move forward, I can help. I learned to recognize behaviors in myself that kept me from progressing in the direction I wanted to go. And through coaching, I was able to work through it and my future opened up to me. I would love to help you figure it out way faster than I did. I love coaching because this stuff really works. It worked and is still working for me. And I love helping others see that life doesn't just happen to them. They can take the wheel and pilot their own experience the way it was intended. If you want coaching, whether through dating or any relationship you have or want to have, I'm your girl. You can sign up for coaching on my website at datingbydeb.com. And to start out, sign up for a 1-hour free consultation. It's not scary or awkward. We'll just chat about what's going on for you right now, where you ultimately want to be, and how I can help you get there. Or you can message me on Facebook at By Deb or Instagram at Dating By Deb. Or I am so happy to receive emails at datingbydeb@gmail.com. So please share any experiences, insight, or awkward dating moments with me. I read all my messages and love to share others' experiences too. This is my passion and I want to help you make the most of your single experience.
Debbie Does Dating with your host, Deb McEwen. Sponsored by Dating by Deb.